Well, this morning we continue our teaching series entitled Prayer, Unlocking the Possibilities for Your Life by taking a look today at praying and fasting for a breakthrough. So then, what in the world is a breakthrough? Well, for the answer, I turned to Webster's Dictionary, and this is what Webster's Dictionary says a breakthrough is. It's a sudden, dramatic, and important advance. It's a sudden, dramatic, and important advance. And there's all kinds of breakthroughs in life. There's science, technology, medicine, all of those concentrations have breakthroughs. Diplomacy can have breakthroughs. We can have a breakthrough in our marriage or in a relationship or in our career. And we can have personal and spiritual breakthroughs as well. Over the years, I have had many of those in my life. I've had moments of clarity when all of a sudden, you know, I went, oh, aha, I get it. The light comes on, and God opens doors, and now I'm headed in a whole new direction. And one of the first breakthroughs I remember in my own personal life happened when I was a senior in college. I was student teaching at Johnson Central High School in Paintsville, Kentucky, and having a very good experience, loving every minute of it. And I was convinced, my goodness, that I am going to do this. I'm going to be a music teacher for the rest of my life. It was fun. It was awesome having the time of my life. But then God got my attention through a variety of experiences, and all of a sudden I started experiencing what I called holy doubt. Holy doubt comes when you have your life all figured out, and then God gets in the way. And then God steps in and casts doubt on the plan you had conceived for yourself. Holy doubt then usually leads to holy discontent, where you experience an annoying sense of confusion that never abandons you until you cry out, holy cow, and then start moving forward in the direction God had set before you. So my life was headed in one direction, and then all of a sudden it took a whole new direction because I had that breakthrough moment, that moment of clarity where I understood that God was not calling me to be a music teacher the rest of my life. God was calling me into pastoral ministry. And some of us this morning might be experiencing some holy doubt, a period of confusion. We might be saying to ourselves, I don't have the foggiest idea what I'm supposed to do with my life, what I'm supposed to do next with my life. I'm in a ball of confusion and I have no clue as to what to do. I'm experiencing some holy doubt and holy discontent. And if that's where we are, then, well, we need a breakthrough. Or we may be feeling overwhelmed right now. We might be thinking there's just too much to get done and I don't know how I'm going to get it all done. I'm overwhelmed by life and all that's going on around me. Some of us are sitting here today feeling a bit overwhelmed by life. Well, we need a breakthrough. Some of us may feel outnumbered right now. We say, I feel like I'm in the minority, and I feel like the majority is coming out against me, and I don't like this. I always feel outnumbered. I need a breakthrough. Or we may be thinking, I'm under-resourced. I don't have the money I need to do what I need to do with my life. I don't have the funds. I don't have the resources. I need a financial breakthrough. So what about you and me? What about us? Where do we need a breakthrough in our lives today? Some of us may need a breakthrough with our health. It's not good. We've been struggling with it. So we need a physical or a health breakthrough. Some of us need a breakthrough in our finances. The truth is we're not making it. We're going the wrong way and we're going deeper and deeper in debt. We need a financial breakthrough. We need to take Financial Peace University so we can experience a breakthrough in that area of our life. Some of us need a relationship breakthrough. a relationship breakthrough in our marriage or in a friendship. We're at an impasse, and we're kind of like deadlocked. We're at a stalemate, and nothing's moving forward. It's all stuck. We may need a breakthrough at school. We may need a breakthrough at work. We may need a new idea, a breakthrough idea for our business. We may need a breakthrough with our children. It's just not working out. They're heading in the wrong direction. We don't know what to do. We may need a breakthrough with God. God seems distant and far off to us. Maybe we're even beginning to doubt God or to really believe that God can do what he says he can do. We might doubt that God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ever ask or imagine. We need a breakthrough. But what I've learned in a little over 36 years of ministry is that breakthroughs generally happen when we go after them. Breakthroughs generally happen when we seek them out. They just don't happen automatically. They just don't happen spontaneously. We get a breakthrough in our life when we seek God for a breakthrough. In Ronnie Floyd's book, Our Last Great Hope, he tells the story of Jeremiah Lamphere. Lamphere lived in New York City during the 1850s. Those were years of tension when the shadow of war loomed over America. There were strikes, depressions, failing banks, long jobless lines, and an air of simmering violence. In this setting, Lamphere accepted a call as a full-time evangelist in New York City. He walked the streets, knocked on doors, put up posters, and prayed constantly, all to no visible result. And as his discouragement increased, Lamphere began to seek God for a breakthrough, some kind of new idea. New York was a business town, thought Lamphere, so maybe the men could come to a luncheon. So he nailed up signs calling for a noon lunch in the old Dutch church on Fulton Street. When the hour came, he sat and waited until finally one single visitor arrived. Several minutes later, a couple of stragglers peeked through the door. The handful of them had a nice meal together. Lamphere gave his idea another go for the following week. 20 men attended. At least it was a start. But then 40 came on the third week. The men were getting to know each other by this time, and one of them suggested that he'd be willing to come for food and prayer every day. Lamphere thought this was a good sign, and he ramped up his efforts for a daily meal and prayer time. Before long, the building was overflowing. The luncheon had to move again and again and again. So high was the demand. The most intriguing element of the Fulton Street Revival, as they called this phenomenon, was the ripple effect. Offices began to close for prayer at noon. Fulton Street was the talk of the town, with men telegraphing prayer news back and forth between New York City and other communities and towns. Yes, other cities had started their own franchises. Other godly meetings were also launching in New York State. The center of the meeting was prayer. Men stood and shared their stories, their God stories. Some historians went so far as to refer to the Fulton Street Revival as the Third Great Awakening because it lasted for 2 years and saw as many as 1 million decisions for Jesus Christ. Given the influence of New York City, no one could estimate the national and international impact that spread out from Jeremiah Lamphere's breakthrough. A simple lunch break. You see, we get breakthroughs in life when we seek God for them. So I want you to turn to somebody next to you and say, let's seek God for a breakthrough baby. Okay, will you do that? Let's seek God for a breakthrough. Now, if the person next to you doesn't look like your baby, then I would not do, leave the baby part off. But let's seek God for a breakthrough. So if you brought a Bible or you can find one, I invite you to take a hold of it and follow along, as today we're going to take a look pretty much at one verse. That's it. One verse from the New Testament, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. And three habits to embrace if we're truly wanting to seek God for a breakthrough. But first, let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So let's get started. Let's look at Philippians 4, verse 6. Here, the Apostle Paul says to the believers of Philippi, he says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Now then, from that one little verse, the Apostle Paul reveals to us three habits for a breakthrough. So let's take a look at these three. Habit number one, do not be anxious about anything. Again, Philippians 4, verse 6 begins, do not be anxious about anything. So in other words, don't worry. The Amplified Translation says, don't fret, don't fear, don't have any anxiety. But the fact is, if we're honest, this is probably the most difficult commandment in the entire Bible. And why is that? Well, we're human beings, right? We worry. We worry about everything. We worry about the weather. We worry about our kids. We worry about Ohio State. Are they going to be any good this year? I'm tired of Alabama being number one. Come on. You know, we worry about everything. We are worriers. That's who we are. And if you think about it, worry is kind of a form of control. We think if we worry about kids, they'll be safer. But worry has no effect. It's doing without doing. Worry is worthless. It cannot change the past. It can't control the future. Worry can only mess up and make us unhappy today. Every moment of our lives that we spend worrying, we are wasting that moment. But let's stop and define worry. Worry, if you will, is focusing on our fears, on our struggles, on what's not right, on what is out of our control, instead of God. Worry is focusing on our fears instead of God. If you will, worry is practical atheism. When we worry, we're acting like an orphan. We're acting like we don't have a heavenly Father who's promised to take care of us. We're acting like if it's to be, it's up to me, and that simply is not in the Bible. The fact is, if it's to be, it's up to God. And when we worry, we're acting like our heavenly Father doesn't care about us at all. Worry is focusing on our fears instead of focusing on God. So if we're going to break the habit of worry in our life, we're going to have to learn how to focus on something else. Fasting can actually help us do that, and of course, so can prayer. You see, the key to overcoming worry is not to say, I'm just not going to worry, because we all know that does not work. The only thing that does is keep us focused on our worries and our concerns. The key is to change the focus. Don't resist it, just refocus our energy. That's how we get rid of worry. We don't resist worry because we can't. It's coming. We're going to have it. We don't resist worry. We refocus and put our focus on God through prayer and fasting. And when we switch our focus by fasting and praying, we're saying, God, I'm not going to focus on the worries. I'm going to focus on you. And when we do, we don't have time to worry. Last week we talked about the prophet Daniel. In Daniel 9 verse 3, we discovered what Daniel did when he was anxious and worried. He says in verse 3, "So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded. I turned, I sought him, I sought God. I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and fasting." Now, what did Daniel do? He changed his focus. He turned to the Lord with prayer and fasting. And that's how we stop worry. We get the focus off of the problem and back on to God. So when seeking for a breakthrough, let's not be anxious. Let's not worry. Let's redirect our anxiety. Let's refocus. Let's focus on God. Let's spend one day a week fasting, remembering that during a fast, we fast from food in order to feast on God. And during a fast, whether it's a morning fast, a day fast, whatever, every time we feel those little pangs of hunger, our stomach growls or whatever, that's a call to prayer to refocus our energies. Not on, geez, I'm hungry, but now I want to hunger on God. I want to seek God in my life. So that's the first habit. Let's not be anxious about anything. Habit number two, pray about everything. Pray about everything. Again, Philippians 4, 6. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." In every situation, Paul says we should pray. We should pray about everything. There's nothing too small or too big to pray about. If it's worth worrying about, it's worth praying about. In Ephesians 6, verse 18, here the Apostle Paul tells us to pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. So as we can see, prayer is kind of important. And when we pray, we say, "God, I'm not going to worry. I'm going to let you carry the worries, and I'm just going to talk to you about them." And here's a simple way to pray. We can remember this. We can do this. We could actually memorize this by using our hands. And check out Psalm 88, verse 9. It says this. It says, Lord, every day I call to you and lift my hands to you in prayer. So we lift our hands to God in prayer, and here's how this works. Now, I suggest you might want to write this down if you're into it. If not, you can say, "Jim, send me the cute little diagram that didn't fit in the bulletin later. Just email me and I'll send it to you," all right? But here's how this works. Now, we put our hands together like we're praying, okay? Because we're using our hands to remember how to pray. So we take our left hand first. And so when we do this, we hold them together like we're praying, our thumbs pointing right at our heart. So the first thing we pray for with our left hand are our family and friends, that inner sanctum, our most personal friends and our family. We're praying for our spouse, for our kids, you know, those that are closest to us, because that's closest to the heart. The thumb closest to the heart, we pray for family and friends. Then the next finger is that index finger. That's the pointer, you know? And so now we think of who are those people in our lives that pointed us in the right direction? Who are those teachers, spiritual leaders, other leaders that had an influence on our lives? And so we want to take a moment and pray about those. So our thumb, our index finger, it's a pointer. So we think about those who helped to point us in the right direction. Now the third finger is the tallest finger. So here we think of the influencers. Who are the influencers in our society? Who are the influencers in the world? Maybe we think of our first responders. We think of our community civic leaders, our city government, state government. We think of our president and congressional leaders. And not just those, we also want to think of all those who have a platform to influence. like professional athletes, professional musicians, actors, actresses. They all have a platform, and they like to use that platform to offer opinions about things. And so when we pray for influencers, we're praying for all these people, and we're praying that they will have godly influence in their lives, that when they seek to influence, they'll seek God's help to know what it is and how it is they should influence those around them. So we want godly influencers influencing the world in a godly way. So that's the third finger, that's the tall one. Now the fourth finger, that's the weakest finger of the whole hand, the fourth finger. So now here we think of the who are the weak among us? Who's sick? Who's maybe in a nursing home not doing well? Who's maybe homebound and not doing well? Who do we know is terminally ill and fighting for their life? Who are the weak among us? The poor, the under-resourced of our community. We think of children here, not because children are helpless, but because while they're growing up, they are dependent on adults to help them journey through life. So we think of the children. So fourth finger, weak finger, think of the weak among us. And the pinky, the last one, this is the smallest finger. And here is when we pray for what's going on in our lives. We think about what our needs. We ask God to meet all our needs according to the riches of his grace. Whatever's going on, we pour it all out to God. Whatever's going on in our lives, we pour it all out to God. Okay, that was all in the left hand. That's a lot to pray about, isn't it, in the left hand. Now we're going to pray using our right hand. We're not done. We got a whole nother hand to go here. And first, again, we start with the thumb. And again, when we do this, like we're praying, the thumb points right at the heart. And here we pray for our heart, that we'll have a heart for God. We're praying for us individually. We're praying, Lord, help my heart to be all in for you. I want to be all in for you. We stop and think about the things that maybe are disrupting our walk with Christ. Maybe there's unconfessed sin. Maybe there's a habit that we need to stop, that we need to break. So we pray for our heart that we'll surrender our all. We'll be all in for the great all in all. Not just our heart here. Now we pray for the heart of those that are closest to us. We pray for our spouse's heart, our kids' hearts, our grandkids' hearts. We pray that they'll be all in for the great all in all. Okay? So that's the thumb. Now we go back to the index finger. Not only is it the pointer, but hey, it's also the number one. And here, again, praying for ourselves. We're praying for our priorities, for our schedules, that we'll put God first in all that we do. When we look at our priorities of life, we pray that we'll keep priorities in the right order, that we'll put first things first. We'll ask God's blessing on our priorities, on our schedule each and every day, so that throughout the day we live our life putting first things first. God, family, everything else. God, family, God, most important relationships, relationship with God, relationships with others, those who are most important to us, and then everything else. Put everything first things first. So with this right hand, that index finger, we're praying that we'll keep our priorities in the right order. Now the tall finger again, remember the influencer. Now instead of praying for everybody else's, we're praying for our influence, that we'll have a godly testimony to share the world. Matthew chapter 5 says, let your light so shine before others that they'll see your good deeds and praise our Father in heaven. We want to live a life so that when others see us, they want to smile because they see Christ in us, the hope of glory. When we want to live our life in such a way that people are, they're glad to see us, not, oh no, here comes so-and-so, let's hide. You know, we got to pray for our influence so that others see that witness, and we're pointing people to the Heavenly Father. So we want to pray for our witness, that our habits, that our lives, the way we live and order our lives brings honor and glory to our Heavenly Father. And now we're back to the fourth finger. It's the weak one, remember? Now, we know as individuals, we're all weak, but together we're strong. We're better together. So here we think of those extended relationships. We think of our church family. And we want to pray that Matthew 6:10 prayer You know, Matthew 6:10, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And our 6:10 prayer, thy will be done in me and the Urbana United Methodist Church. So we pray for our congregation, ministry teams, ministry involvement, small groups, you know, from the choir, however we're involved. We pray for the groups, other groups we might be a part of throughout our community. We pray for those relationships that make us strong because we're better together. No lone rangers in life. We need others. We need relationships. And we're back to the pinky. And again, it's back to us. Smallest finger, the pinky, reminds us again to pray for what's going on in our lives, praying that God will meet all our needs, not all our greeds, but all our needs according to the riches of his grace. We do that twice, because what happens when we pray the left hand, we think of things we need to pray for, and when we pray the right hand, we think of some more things we need to pray about that we didn't think of before, so we pray for ourselves twice. That's okay. We need all the prayer we can get. So that's a neat little plan, a neat little way. And again, you're like, well, that's kind of cool, Jim. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But if you thought it was cool, then email me, give me a call, and I'll send you the cute little picture that will help you remember all of that. But this is a way to pray. So in Psalm 88, verse 9, we're reminded to take time every day to lift our hands to the Lord in prayer. And think what would happen, again, if we would just set aside 5 minutes, 5 minutes every day to pray with our hands, 5 minutes every day to pray with our hands and to seek God and pray that outline every single day. Imagine what would happen, what breakthroughs would take place because we intentionally sought God in prayer every day. Now, today in our bulletin, we have something else. And I know you might need a magnifying glass to read some of this. That's a lot. But this is a 30-day scripture and prayer calendar. So I want you to take a hold of that and take a look at that. Starting tomorrow, and the dates are on the left column, starting tomorrow, August 28th, and for 30 consecutive days, we're all invited to spend time daily reading the scripture for the day and praying the prayers for the day, as together we ask God to break through with clarity regarding how the Gloria Theater should be used to reach more and more people with the message and love of Jesus Christ. Now, as some of you, many of you are aware, and if you're not, as a part of our Daring Faith campaign, one of our objectives is to pay off the theater and then to gift it to the community. So that this community treasure, which would then be run, managed by the Grand Works Foundation that we've established to help us reach, restore, and revive our community for the glory of God, they would take control of that. You know, they're going to take it, they're going to run it, they're going to maintain it. That's not the job of our church. We're not in on that. Now, we support that and all that, but that doesn't become a part of our church's ministry. That's something else. That's an addition. However, even though we will have gifted that church back to the theater, back to the community, we will forever, until Jesus comes back, be using that facility for mission and ministry. So we're in a time of discernment now, between now and the end of September, to just really asking, Lord, how can you use us, a people called the Urbana Church, to use that facility to reach people far from God and to share the love and hope of Jesus to those around us. So that's what this 30-day prayer possibilities adventure is all about. Then on Sunday, September 24th, we will have a special unity service at the Gloria Theater beginning at 10 a.m. Former Urbanian, the Reverend Dr. Sherry Bowser Austin, will be giving the message that day. Sherry is a retired United Methodist pastor who currently lives in Atlanta, Georgia. We'll have an inspiring worship service as we dedicate the Gloria Theater to God, recognize and pray for Grand Works Foundation board members who oversee the theater, show our appreciation to area businesses, and focus our attention on what God has in store for the future. You see, this is an exciting time in the life of the Urbana United Methodist Church. As we pray for breakthroughs in our lives and in this congregation, God will certainly move in a big way in our midst. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't wait to see what God has in store for us next. But remember, it requires prayer. We have to seek God in order to experience a breakthrough. And as the 19th century Methodist E.M. Bounds once said, every mighty move of the Spirit of God had its source in the prayer chamber. Bottom line, we need to be a people committed to prayer. And then there's one more habit. Be thankful. Habit number three, be thankful. Philippians 4:6, one more time. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. See, the Apostle Paul reminds us that when we pray, we're to pray with thanksgiving. Because when we're grateful, when we have grateful hearts, the more breakthroughs we will experience. So, when we're praying, we're to be grateful. We're to embrace an attitude of gratitude. We're to thank God for what he's done in the past on our behalf, and we're to thank God for what he's about to do. We're going to thank him in advance for the answers he's going to provide to our prayers. So then, what happens? Those are the three habits. What happens when we put into practice these three habits? What happens if we get our focus off our worries and put them on God? If we pray about everything instead of worrying about everything? And if we pray with an attitude of gratitude? What happens if we practice those three habits? Well, check out verse 7. Philippians 4, verse 7 says this, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds everything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Now, wouldn't we like to have that? How would we like to have our heart and our mind and our thoughts and our emotions at rest? That's a breakthrough everybody needs. Less stress, more rest. And all we have to do is to seek God and follow those three habits outlined in Philippians 4, verse 6. So as we close today, I want to invite us all to make our pew or chair an altar of prayer. But before I pray for us, I want to share a really powerful promise from God. It's found in Job chapter 11. This is what God says, if we'll do the three habits we just talked about. Here's what the Bible says. Here we go. From Job chapter 11. It begins, surrender your heart to God. In other words, seek God. Turn to him in prayer. We talked about praying with our hands. And give up your sins, even those you do in secret. Then you won't be ashamed. You will be confident and fearless. Who doesn't want to be confident and fearless? Your troubles, get this. Your troubles will all go away like water beneath a bridge. Now, I like the sound of that. And your darkest night will be brighter than noon. I love that. You will rest safe and secure. I think that's awesome. You'll be filled with hope. I like that. And emptied of worry. Isn't that amazing? You will sleep without fear and be greatly respected. We'll sleep better, and because we're committed to seeking God, people around us will hold us in high regard because the love of Christ will just radiate from our lives. Now, you have to admit, that's a pretty darn good promise that God is saying if we'll practice those three habits. Don't you think that's awesome? Can I get at least an hallelujah? Come on, that's good stuff. And remember, this isn't Jim talking. That wasn't Jim, for heaven's sakes. If that was me, it would be useless. God is saying that. God is saying that. That's what God is promising. We just have to do life God's way. See, there's a synergy at work in life. God's grace, our response. God offers, but he's a gentleman. He doesn't force his way on anybody. He waits for us to move, to seek him. But remember, he always makes the first move. God always makes the first move. So are we ready for a breakthrough in our lives? Are we willing to start practicing those three habits? God's ready if we're ready. Will you pray with me? Father, as we start this journey of seeking you, we want to know your heart. We need breakthroughs. Each of us need breakthroughs in different areas of our lives. So I'm asking you in advance, Father, to hear the prayers of our church family as we pray to you, as we pray for ourselves, and as we pray for one another. And now if this speaks the desire of your heart this morning, I want you to pray this along with me, silently in your heart. Let us pray. God, I need a breakthrough in my life. I want to develop these three habits in my life. I commit to having a 5-minute conversation with you daily. I want to listen to you from your word, and I want to talk to you in prayer. I want to lift my hands knowing who to pray for and what to pray for. And I want you to know, God, that I'm serious about you. I'm serious about growing. I don't want to stay at the same level. I don't want to be stuck. I don't want to be at an impasse. And God, I'm going to commit to pray for a breakthrough for our church. I'm going to follow the 30-day scripture and prayer calendar and ask God to break through with clarity regarding how the Gloria Theater should be used to reach more and more people with the message of love and hope of Jesus. And today, if you've never opened your life to Jesus Christ, then pray simply. Jesus, make yourself real. Make yourself real to me. I want to get to know you. I want to open my life to you. I want to learn to trust you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you that you have a purpose, a reason for my life. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. And as best as I know, I ask you to come into my life. In your name I pray. Amen. For our closing hymn today is "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." Louisa Steed, a missionary to Africa, wrote this hymn soon after her husband's death and reminds us that trusting in Jesus is necessary for the Jesus follower who wishes to have a close connection, a close relationship with Christ. So as we sing this hymn together this morning, let us commit ourselves anew to putting our trust in Jesus as we practice those three habits that will lead us to breakthroughs individually and corporately, and to experiencing God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. So let us stand, if able, and sing together, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus."